Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, January 29th, and we are celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week here at the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Every day, we get to be blessed with the presence of students and staff and faculty from Lutheran schools in the area, and also get to be blessed by their music in chapel today. And so we get to talk with our friends from Unity Lutheran Christian School in East St. Louis in just a minute here. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, KFUO.org. Look for the sponsor section. Click on the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. That'll take you to their page. You can find out about the programs they have to offer and the locations where Concordia University, Wisconsin is available. Go check it out, KFUO.org. Our listener lines will be are not open today. We're going to just give the students a chance to talk and share their story, their perspective on Lutheran education today. And then our second segment, we're going to take a look at a classical approach to Lutheran education as we talk with our friends from the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education during the second segment. Well, it is time to talk with our guests in studio today. Joining us here in studio is Paul Miller, Development Director at Unity Lutheran Christian School in East St. Louis. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having us this morning.
Absolutely. Always good to have you in studio. And we've gotten to talk with our friends from Unity before. We had Pastor Dickerson here before.
Right.
And let's see, I believe we had Mrs.
Hardaway.
Hardaway, thank you. It took me a second. Yes, yeah, she was here to visit a couple months ago as well. I got to talk with her about Unity Lutheran Christian School. And I have the privilege of being in the same district and working in partnership with Unity. So it's great to be a congregation that partners with Unity.
And we appreciate that very much, Andy.
it's great to be a part of that. Well, let's go around the room. Let's start here with Mary. Mary, tell us a little bit about yourself. What grade are you in, and what's your favorite subject?
I'm in eighth grade, and my favorite subject is math.
Math. What do you like about math?
I like adding, subtracting, inequalities, integers. I like all of it.
And solving equations?
Yes.
And your teacher?
Yes, sir.
Well, who would be your math teacher there, Mary?
Mr. Miller.
Oh, I see. Yes. Score one for Mary for today.
I think you just got some extra credit, Mary.
Yes.
Good job. Let's go to, is it Alea?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Alea. Good to have you in studio. Now tell us, what grade are you in and what's your favorite subject?
I'm in fifth grade, and my favorite subject is English.
English. What do you like about English, Leah?
I like my teacher.
And who's your teacher?
Mrs. Hardaway.
Mrs. Hardaway. She's nice.
She is.
Very good. Very good. And Alicia, what grade are you in?
I'm in the sixth grade, and my favorite subject is English.
What do you like about English?
I like the writing and the research that is incorporated with it.
So you like doing research. Very good. Do you also like creative writing, coming up with stories?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. And who's your teacher for English?
Mrs. Hardaway.
Mrs. Hardaway. Very good. Very good. And Diamond, tell us about yourself. What grade are you in? Your favorite subject?
I'm in seventh grade, and my favorite subject is math.
And who's your teacher for math?
Mr. Williams.
And what do you like about math?
I like showing my work, explaining it to everyone and showing them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just like all of it.
Very good. Very good. Well, you are you're in a school that I want to hear more about, Unity Lutheran Christian School. I want to hear about your experience there, what you like about it. You've shared with us your favorite subject and a little bit about your teachers. When do you hear, we've talked about math and English and those types of things. With Unity being a school a Lutheran school, a Christian school, when do you hear about Jesus? When do you hear God's word throughout your day? Diamond?
Well, we go to Belong to Jesus every morning at 8:25 to about 8:45, and we just learn his word. We sing his praises. We say the Apostles' Creed, and we just do everything that includes the Lord.
Very good. So belonging to Jesus time in the morning. Very good. And let's go to Alicia. When do you hear about Jesus throughout your day at school?
Every day, and it is incorporated with how we behave and our work that we do as a school.
Very good. So it's throughout your day. Alea?
Well, every morning I wake up, me and my mom always get on our knees and we pray.
Start your day with prayer. Yep, we do that here at KFUO too. We start the day with the Word of God and prayer. Mary, when do you hear about Jesus? When do you hear the Word of God at Unity Lutheran Christian School?
I hear the Word of God in the morning, in the afternoon, before we leave. We pray the Word of God. We ask him for forgiveness, give him thanks, and that's all he does. And we praise God throughout our day.
Who is key, and who really helps you learn about Jesus at your school?
Reverend Dickerson, Mr. Miller, the teachers and staff, and sometimes the students at Unity.
Mm-hmm. So really everybody. It sounds like everything is about Jesus at your school. Everybody's there to tell you about Jesus, to encourage you, to support you, to pray with you, is what it sounds like to me.
Yes, sir, it is.
Very good, very good. Mr. Miller, what role does the Word of God play at Unity?
Well, Andy, I think you already know that our school was created and started to share the Word of God with the children and families in East St. Louis. That's the purpose we're there. And like Mary said, everything at Unity is about Jesus. Everything starts and ends with Jesus. And without him, we don't really have any reason for being there, and mm-hmm. we don't know where we're going. But with Jesus, we know we have a purpose in life and where this is all going. So we try to communicate that to the students, not only during Belong to Jesus time, which is very exciting, mm-hmm. but throughout the day in all of the subjects and also in the relationships that we have with the students and their families, modeling that along the lines of what God wants us to do as missionaries, how he wants us to be as his people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And as his people, I'm sure as students, you probably have plans. You probably have hopes and dreams, thinking about maybe what you want to do later on, high school, after high school, thinking about college maybe. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? Let's start with Alea.
Well, my dreams are I want to be a pediatrician when I grow up.
A pediatrician. So what do you think you need to, what do you have to do to become a pediatrician? Do you have a lot of education ahead of you?
Yes, sir.
Lots of studies ahead. Why do you want to be a pediatrician?
I want to be a pediatrician because when I was 7, I went to a daycare and it was a lot of babies there. And I just fell in love with them.
So you like babies,
yes.
Caring for babies. Very good. So you've got a lot of science.
I had an interesting conversation with Leia a couple of years ago. We were standing in front of school, and she was telling me how she wants to do really well in school. Do you remember the conversation, Alea? Why did you want to do so well in school?
Yes, sir.
And what was your hope when you go to college? Remember?
I actually don't remember.
Remember you said you wanted to do really well so that you can get a scholarship.
Yeah,
that's what you told me.
That I wanted to get plenty of degrees so I can get good jobs.
Very good. Those are noble goal, noble tasks ahead of you. Very good. Let's go to Alicia. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What are your plans?
I want to be a lawyer.
A lawyer? And why do you want to be a lawyer?
Well, I like being around a lot of people, and I like helping people.
You like helping people. Very good. Very good. And so do you think you have a lot of studying ahead of you?
Yes.
Much like Alea, you've got to work hard and earn those good grades, get some scholarships, and you've got plenty of degrees ahead of you as well, right?
Yes.
Mary, how about you? What are your hopes? What are your dreams?
My hopes is become a doctor when I grow up.
A doctor in any particular area?
Well, I want to be a doctor in East St. Louis.
Oh, okay. Very good. So a medical doctor?
Yes, sir.
Very good. And why do you want to be a medical doctor?
I want to be a medical doctor because I believe that we need more doctors in East St. Louis to help the sick get well.
Very good. That's a noble dream. Very good. And let's go to Diamond. What are your hopes and dreams?
Well, I have a A and B dream, just in case one don't. I would love to be a judge or a professional dance choreographer.
Wow. Now, why each one of those? Which one's the A plan?
The dance choreographer.
A choreographer. Okay, very good. Do you enjoy dance? Do you dance now?
Yes.
You study and do you take dance lessons?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. So you're hoping to maybe be a choreographer. Now tell us the story about being a judge. Why are you interested in being a judge?
I would like to be a judge because I like to listen to people's stories when they sit up and they tell us what they have done, and now I could be the one that helped them.
Very good. Very good. So you've all got big dreams. You've got hopes and some plans. How does your school help you prepare for those? How does your school help you prepare for those plans? What are your teachers and your staff and your friends and your families doing to help you prepare for that and work toward those goals? What are your teachers doing? Mary?
Well, my teachers, they're helping me learning. They're helping me write, do my math, and other subjects, learn about my history. And I believe that these are very good because when I become a doctor, you have to do all of those things. You have to calculate, write, and just learn how to communicate with other people.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Anybody else want to share what your teachers, what your school is doing to help you prepare for your dreams?
The teachers, they help a lot, and by our school being a Christian school, we have a lot of advantages, and we're working towards to what we want to be and how to get ahead.
Very good. Very good. Mr. Miller, how long has Unity School been around?
Andy, this is our 11th year. So we started in 2003 with just kindergarten and pre-kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We had 17 students that first year, and then we added a grade every year. We've had 2 eighth grade graduating classes now, and in May we'll have our 3rd graduating class. We have a total of 187 students now.
Wow. And those students who have graduated from Unity, what are their stories? What have we learned from those students, and where are they now?
The ones that I keep in closest contact with, we have at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville.
Mm-hmm. We just talked with them this week.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, there was 2 of our former students were here with that group. We have 4 sophomores and 3 freshmen, and I follow them pretty closely because we're still very committed, especially to those students who go to Metro East. There is a transition period, going to high school, going to a different community, traveling more to get to high school, so there is some transition, but once they figure things out, they're doing very well. We have one of our sophomore students, Ariel, who is actually at our school since the very beginning. She's at Metro East now. She's on the honor roll, top-notch student. She's got it all figured out. We're very proud of her and all of our students as well.
You should be.
Yeah, we have a great connection with Metro East.
Very good. Yeah. Anybody here thinking about maybe going to Metro East Lutheran High? Yeah? Everybody's thinking about it, huh?
They're all nodding their heads.
Yes.
This is radio, girls. They can't see you nod your head.
Yes.
Well, the vision, the plan behind Unity took a lot of work, I'm sure, to see that. And your position as developer, and also you're involved in the day-to-day education as well, not just spending time developing it, but also being there hands-on, teaching. You're obviously in the math classroom,
right,
with the students as well. What led you to consider being a part of this? How did you get involved in this? What led you to be a part of this plan and now this reality?
Well, I'm very blessed, Andy, and I always consider myself the most blessed person in all of this story of Unity, to be in the position I'm in. But I actually grew up in the country in Michigan, and then my first position in a Lutheran school was in the middle of the south side of Chicago. So I went from the country right to the heart of the inner city. And I learned there the value of a Lutheran school in that urban setting. And then in the mid-90s, we moved to Southern Illinois, and I was the principal of Zion Lutheran School in Staunton, which is just a small town. But during that time, the Southern Illinois District formed a task force to study the possibility of opening a Lutheran school in East St. Louis. I volunteered to be on that task force, never having any idea that this would where it would all end up. But we conducted a feasibility study, put together a business plan that took close to 3 years. And then we looked at each other one night and said, so far, we're just talking. We need to call the first principal. And by God's grace and the moving of the Holy Spirit, they called me to be the first principal. I worked for a year by myself in development, and then the school opened in 2002 or 2003. And it's just been an amazing, amazing journey, not only for the school, for our Southern Illinois district, for the congregations of the district and around the country, but it's just been a special journey for me, too. And like today, what's happening here today, I have 19 young ladies with me. And we came over on the bus. We sang at the chapel service, got a little tour of the IC here, and then able to communicate on the radio. It's just very special for me to allow this to happen and to bring these girls. I'm always very proud of them, and I'll take them anywhere, anytime. They always make me very proud and blessed to be with these girls. So the mission of Unity is on display through these young people. And not to draw any attention to myself, we're all about kids. And when I take them out and they tell their stories, it makes me very proud.
And I want to hear your stories. When you're talking with your friends who don't go to Unity Lutheran Christian School, what do they say? What do they think about your school? What do your friends who don't go to Unity, what do they think about it? Diamond, you're smiling. Not sure. How about you, Alicia?
Well, they really don't have a problem with it. Most people would judge because they're not in a very Christian-orientated family. Well, they really don't have a problem with it, and they ask a lot of questions of what we do and how we do things there.
And what do you tell them?
I mean, like, they ask us how, like, what we do that deals with God. Well, we mostly have belong to Jesus, and I tell them that we do a lot of Bible stories and read scriptures and sing songs that deals with praising the Lord.
Very good. How about Mary or Alea? What do your friends think about your school, your friends that don't go to your school?
My friends always think, what school is it? Why do you go here? I tell them I go here because I learned from my mom when I first prayed. And I tell them I go there because I love the Lord. And they always ask me questions like, who is the Lord? Why do you go to church so much? And why do you sing the gospel songs? My cousin Tanaya, she doesn't go to church or even go to a Christian school. And she's always asking me questions.
And what do you, by going to Unity School, you learn about Jesus all day. You get to sing about Jesus. You hear his word. Does that help you talk to your friends and family about who Jesus is and what he has done for us on the cross?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Mary, anything you want to share about when you're talking with your friends about your school?
Most of my friends ask me, what are we doing? Unity, how are we organized? Do we talk about Jesus all day? And I tell them, yes, we does, but we also learn about math and our other subjects in school. And they asks me why I'm here, who put me here, and I tell them, my mother and my father put me here, but God really sent me here to come to Unity.
There's so much truth in that. Very true. Who... I know that Mr. Miller is probably your favorite teacher for bringing you here today. Any favorite teachers you wanna give a shout out to, or who's your favorite teacher, Diamond?
Well, I have to say my favorite teacher is the principal. He's my spelling teacher. He teaches us a whole lot about the words that we need to know. He's our Belong to Jesus teacher also, and when we go to Belong to Jesus in the morning, we also have Belong to Jesus in the afternoon, right before we leave home. So that is my favorite teacher.
And who's that?
Reverend Dickerson.
There's a little shout out for Reverend Dickerson. Very good. And Alicia?
Well, I have actually three specific favorite teachers. Mrs. Hardaway, mm-hmm. Reverend Dickerson, our principal, and Mr. Miller.
any particular reason?
Well, Miss Hardaway, she does things differently, but she connects with the kids in a different way. Our principal, he's very open and listening to how us as the children of what we're doing, and tries to teach us the word every day
in a better way. And Mr. Miller, our development teacher there, he does a lot of trips. He takes places such as here, and he does do things for us.
Of course, everybody loves the field trip teacher.
Yeah.
Aaliyah, any favorite teachers that you wanna that you wanna mention today? Give a shout out to.
Well, my favorite teacher is also Ms. Hardaway because she speaks the truth. And she has always encouraged me ever since I've been in the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. You can tell that, that she's a very encouraging person. I had the chance to talk with her a few months ago. And Mary, any teachers that you want to give a shout out to, your favorite teachers?
Well, I have two. My favorite teachers are Mr. Miller and Mrs. Hardaway.
And why is that?
Well, Mr. Miller is my favorite teacher because he always been there for everyone. He's a special guy, and I thank God for sending him down to earth to us today. And Ms. Hardaway is my favorite teacher because she always been there. She always be there for everyone. She speak the truth, and she also my English teacher.
Very good. We've got a couple of minutes left. Before we wrap up, I want to give you a chance to say thank you. To anyone you want to say thanks for supporting you and giving you the opportunity to go to Unity Lutheran Christian School. If you want to do that, we'll come back down to Diamond.
Well, when I was in fifth grade, I was going to start going to Unity, but it turns out I was going to start in sixth grade. Fifth grade year, Mr. Miller was going to be the principal. And we took a tour around the school before they start fixing it up. So I want to thank him for encouraging my mom to send us to Unity. And I also want to thank my mom for sending us here because now I know more about the Lord than I usually did.
Amen. Alicia?
I would like to thank my mom and the whole Unity family.
You have a whole family, huh?
Yes.
Because of Unity Lutheran School. You've got a whole extended family now. Very good. Very good. And Aaliyah? Who would you like to thank for the opportunity to be a student at Unity?
I want to thank Mr. Miller and my mom because when I first started at Unity, I was in second grade, and I was really scared, like, what am I going to really be doing here? And Mr. Miller said, don't be shy, and I didn't be shy. I met my teacher, Ms. Banks, and then now I'm in fifth grade. And I've been going to Unity for 5 years.
Very good. Very good. Mary, who would you like to thank?
I want to thank my mother, my father, and Mr. Miller. They always been there for me. And Mr. Miller accepted me to Unity, and I want to give a special thanks to him.
Very good. Mr. Miller, a lot of work goes into to running a school like Unity. For it to be a blessing to so many students, so many families. I'm sure that your list goes on and on. Who would you like to thank today for the supporting Unity Lutheran Christian School?
Well, there is an extensive list, Andy, but at the top of the list for me is these students and their response to what we're trying to do with them and for them at Unity. It's a blessing for me to be with them every day and watch them grow. And even today, just to listen to them speak so eloquently about their life at Unity, it's just amazing to me. So I want to thank the students that are here and the ones that are listening, all of our students.
The ones that are waving at us through the window.
The ones that are waving, yes, and all the ones back at school, former and present students. So that they're the best.
Very good. Well, we'll post a link to the Unity website as well today with the archive of today's show. You can go back and download today's show on our website, kfuo.org. Go back to the archives for Faith and Family, and you'll find the recording of today's show and the link to Unity Lutheran Christian School. Thanks so much for being my guest today. It was good to have you all in studio here at Faith and Family.
And what do we say, ladies?
Thank you.
Well, coming up in just a little bit, we'll continue our conversation on education here at Worldwide KFUO on Faith and Family. We're going to talk about a classical approach to Lutheran education. Stick around.
Go Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Yvonne Moore became an abortionist after getting out of medical school. Soon it was a full-time occupation. But when she got pregnant, things changed. The moment she saw the beating heart of her daughter, she fell madly in love with her. Dr. Moore soon realized the only difference between her daughter and the baby she aborted were that her baby was wanted. She said the scales fell from her eyes and compared it to Saul's Road to Damascus experience and conversion. Now Dr. Moore does all she can to protect innocent human life. She trains volunteers at a pro-life women help center so they too can help women choose life for their babies. Inside every abortionist is a person dearly loved by her Heavenly Father. Please pray for the conversion of all abortionists.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
In 1939, Lutherans started resettling people displaced by World War II. In 1960, we asked, who else can we help, and opened our service networks to refugees and migrants. As wars and conflicts create the need for asylum and refuge, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service is still asking, who else can we help? Today, with partners, congregations, and volunteers, we're resettling refugees, reuniting families, and rekindling dreams. You can help. LIRS.org/volunteer.
Following a sellout event last year, Grace Place Lutheran Wellness Ministries will hold its fourth annual Soup for the Soul Friendraiser Sunday, February 16th, 4 to 7 p.m. at St. John Church in Ellisville. Enjoy soups, breads, and desserts from over 20 of St. Louis's premier restaurants at this family-friendly event. Tickets are available online at graceplacewellness.org, by calling the office at 314-842-3077, or at the door.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates. I invite you to join me for His Time. We share the daily readings from the Word of God and check in with regular guests.
Good morning, Andy. How are we doing?
We also chat with special guests.
Good morning, Brother Andy.
A guest pastor joins us to study the daily New Testament reading.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Finally, we join together in morning prayer. Begin your day with His Time, 7:15 to 9:30 each weekday morning on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
American troubadour Pete Seeger, who died Monday at the age of 94, wrote one of the few hit songs whose lyrics were taken almost entirely from the Bible.
To everything, turn, turn, turn there.
Paul Zollo, who interviewed Seeger for his book Songwriters on Songwriting, says Turn, Turn, Turn was written in response to a complaint.
He told me that he got a letter from his publisher who told him that he should stop writing these protest songs, as that's what he normally wrote.
A time to be born, a time to die.
Seeger said he rearranged a few words from Ecclesiastes and wrote the melody in 15 minutes. To his surprise, the publisher loved it, and the 1960s band The Birds made it a hit.
I asked him, so you got that because you read the Bible? I was surprised. I didn't know if Pete was religious. I didn't know much about his religious side at all. He said he didn't read the Bible that often, but he would leaf through it occasionally. And he said he was amazed by the foolishness at times and also the wisdom.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Luther famously said, where the word of God does not dwell, I advise no one to send their child. And so we take that very seriously as Lutherans in Lutheran schools and making that faith foundational to what it is we are about.
Thank you for joining us for Faith and Family. Today's program is pre-recorded, so the listener lines will not be open. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the program. Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you today. Joining us in studio for National Lutheran Schools Week, we have two great guests to talk about classical Lutheran education. Joining us in studio today, the Reverend Paul Kane. He is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and headmaster of Martin Luther Grammar School in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good to have you in studio today.
Thank you.
And also joining us in studio, the Reverend Stephen Kieser from Trinity Lutheran Church Darmstadt in Evansville, Indiana. Good to have you in studio today as well.
Good to be here.
So we're going to talk about classical Lutheran education today. And, you know, with it being National Lutheran Schools, Schools Week. Lutheran schools entail a lot of different schools, and we've talked about classical Lutheran education a little bit here on Faith and Family before. Let's talk about your backgrounds first, before we even get into the topic of classical Lutheran education. Pastor Kane, tell us a little bit about what you're doing at Emmanuel and at Martin Luther Grammar School.
I have the joy of being both pastor and headmaster by myself on the edge of the Bighorn Mountains in Wyoming. It's beautiful. You should come up and see us sometime. But we have a wonderful Lutheran school. It's been there 11 years. I had the joy of being called there after the school was already established. And we have 20 students this school year and a congregation of 800. Our children love chapel. And their favorite is evening prayer at the end of the school day on Thursdays.
Had you had any experience with classical Lutheran education prior to coming to Emmanuel and Martin Luther Grammar School?
My only prior experience with classical Lutheran ed was attending the 5th Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education as a continuing education opportunity in Laramie, Wyoming in 2003. And I caught the bug. I thought I finally figured out what education was like, the kind of education Willa Cather wrote about. I read some of her at the University of Nebraska. And after that, I changed my set, my pastor document, and one day wanted to be connected to a classical Lutheran school.
And there you have it. And the rest is history, right?
The rest is history. My first Christian school, my first Lutheran school, was Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
Wow.
I did not have the option before that.
Kind of in the same boat. My first Lutheran school was Concordia University in River Forest, now Concordia, Chicago. And that was transferring in as a junior. So I'm certainly rejoicing with the many other people this week who are celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week for that Lutheran school and the many other Lutheran schools that serve, including Martin Luther Grammar School. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Let's get to Pastor Stephen Keyser. Tell us a little bit about your background and what's going on with the Keyser family and Trinity Lutheran in Darmstadt, Evansville.
Well, I am a product of Lutheran education. With all the post-college degrees and so forth, I've only spent 4 years outside of a Lutheran school. So grade school, high school was public education, and then the Concordias for graduate work. So I'm very blessed and have celebrated and have enjoyed celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week. We at Trinity Darmstadt, it's a congregation that had a school at one time, and unfortunately, that school closed several years ago. There is still a great interest in education within our congregation, mainly because many of the people who are members of our congregation are products of Trinity Lutheran School. Some aren't, and yet we still see the great blessing of the school that was there. Now, my family and I, having no school right there in our congregation, we home educate our kids. Even while both my wife and I have taught, and I have been a school principal in several different schools throughout our married life.
I think that alone demonstrates the importance of a faithful Lutheran education and doing what it takes to get that, to provide that for our children. And I'm sure that'll be part of our conversation today as well. Well, let's get to classical Lutheran education. What is classical Lutheran education?
We have to describe this all the time, especially in our community. And so we decided to put it on a banner right on our block that we use for some community events. And it's pretty simple. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and Christ. Plus, we don't really call it the three R's because we want to teach good spelling in a classical Lutheran school. But it's a way to get people thinking about the way that education used to be done. And then we can introduce them to more of the official terms like grammar, logic, and rhetoric. People nowadays know about elementary schools, but before, they were called grammar schools mm-hmm. because you focused on the basic building blocks of each subject. Lutheran Christians know about the six chief parts in the catechism. Well, what are the chief parts of mathematics? You've got the pluses, the funny-shaped crosses, and the takeaways. In history, you have names and dates and places. And take a look at the basic vocabulary of every subject. That is its grammar, and that's what we want to share with our young people.
So it's education, that a process, a system, a philosophy that's been around for a long time. Kind of almost slipped away there for a little while. It seems like it really became unknown to some degree, but it's still around. And why do you think it is that people aren't familiar with classical Lutheran education?
Well, I think that a lot of teachers, when they go through and study to be a teacher, it seems as though the history of education quite often stops in 1900 or thereabouts, mm-hmm. and it begins with a guy named John Dewey. And his imprint on American education is so great that that's where most discussion regarding education begins. For Lutherans, mm-hmm. we can ask a different question. If we want to ask, when did Lutheran education really take form? Mm-hmm. There, we can go back to Luther and Melanchthon, and we can go back to the 16th century, and we find there a great and beautiful heritage of Lutherans taking leadership in education in their own day, in their own cities, and being defining, basically for the day, education and what Lutheran education is. For us, we in classical Lutheran education, rather than looking around us right now or trying to look forward to find a definition for what is Lutheran education, we like to look back to the pros, to Luther, Melanchthon, yeah. and the rest of them, and ask ourselves, what did they say Lutheran education is? And how can we take what they said and do that today?
What are the answers? In asking those questions, what are the answers that you found?
Well, you have the pursuing of this classical Lutheran education by a variety of different people in different areas across mm-hmm. the United States. Some of the things that are similar about those schools is that we see very diligent Lutheran catechesis. The schools that are associated with the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education are schools that take teaching the faith very seriously. They are the kind of schools that have daily chapel. They are the kind of schools that teach children the catechism, the scriptures, hymns, the liturgy. And they are deliberate about that it isn't an occasional extra or we'll throw that in. No, that becomes very foundational to the school, as did Luther, who Luther famously said, where the word of God does not dwell, I advise no one to send their child. And so we take that very seriously as Lutherans in Lutheran schools, and making that faith foundational mm-hmm. to what it is we are about in educating children.
Pastor Kane, do you have anything to add to that?
Christ is always at the center. Mm-hmm. And whether you're studying history, it's his story, or you're in chapel and you're hearing a variety of sermons on the lectionary readings of the week, or you're singing the faith, I could probably bore the audience with lots of stories, but we have always had about 50% of our students come from outside the congregation, outside of Lutheranism. And occasionally, we'd even get children from the household of another pastor in town. And I'll never forget, we had a question and answer session at the end of a chapel, and I asked a very basic question. what are the two main teachings of Holy Scripture? And this young lady stood up with all the confidence in the world, and you can see her arm move because she was so passionate about her answer, law and gospel. And then I prayed for her when she went home and explained her answer to her dad.
who came from a different confession, I'm sure.
Came from a different confession of faith. But it's such a joy hearing children of a variety of different denominational backgrounds sing the Lutheran liturgy, mm-hmm. the treasures of Christian song from every time and place. We haven't had... a couple of young ladies from one of the Baptist congregations in town asked their worship pastor if they could start singing Matins and Vespers at their church. What joy!
Passing on these gifts, that these historical gifts, this heritage that we have as confessing Christians, that to the next generation, and hopefully they're taking that, as you've shown here, not just those who come from Lutheran backgrounds or Lutheran families who are grasping these gifts that we have in our heritage and taking them to pass on to their families as
it
well.
It gives us an opportunity as Lutheran Christians to make our case from the Scriptures and show from the Bible what the Lord himself is mm-hmm. not through teaching about baptism, the Lord's Supper, conversion, a variety of different topics. Imagine schools today that teach children the same way that Greek and Roman parents taught their children to be citizens, leaders, winsome advocates for truth. These are the people that Luther and the Reformers, Walther and the Saxons looked back to, mm-hmm. not to reinvent the wheel, but stand on the shoulders of those who had gone before. How were the American colonists taught? Imagine an education that Washington or Jefferson received. That's what we want to give our kids today. How about the kind of education that C.S. Lewis received, that Dorothy Sayers advocated? And in one of her famous essays, she's absolutely wrong in about the second or third paragraph. She says, nobody will ever take these ideas to the heart and put them back into practice. And it's been done now.
Earlier you mentioned that when I asked what is classical Lutheran education, you said you put out on a banner, you know, that's reading, writing, and arithmetic, and Christ. How do these subjects, these disciplines, work together? How are they a part of classical Lutheran education? And how is Christ a part of all of that?
One of the ways that we teach or catechize our new parents to be parents of scholars in a classical Lutheran school is as the child grows, there are slightly different expectations. Occasionally we have requests for a half-day kindergarten class, and moms and dads want to know, what's that like? Mm-hmm. And my answer is Jesus, numbers, and letters. And you can note all kinds of numbers throughout Holy Scripture. Mm-hmm. There's 10 commandments. There's 2 testaments. We talk about Trinity, 3 and 1, and 1 and 3. And children can grasp these sort of things. They can learn about the 4 Gospels when they hit that number 4. When it comes to language arts, a lot of the first words that we can teach them are words of the faith. God, Jesus, commandment, mm-hmm. gospel, forgiveness. And Christ can be at the center of that, especially when we have this Jesus focus, this gospel focus, to some of the very basic vocabulary that they learn to read for the first time.
From someone who's not experienced classical Lutheran education before, maybe as an educator looking at classical Lutheran education, and it sounds like you've been in this boat before, looking at classical Lutheran education as an educator and thinking, having maybe it's a misconception, thinking of it as It's a type of education where everything is very serious. I'm picturing all the children sitting at their desks with their hands folded. There's no creativity. There's no play. There's no room for self-expression. They're only learning all of these things, like, as you said, numbers and letters and Jesus. They're learning all this history. There's no room for creativity or expression.
Yeah, I think when people think that way about a classical education, I think they might be thinking back to an era where classical education was common, mm-hmm. and also other practices in education that were common, and linking together this stale or harsh environment to a classical education.
Stale is a good word that I was looking for. That's the word I was looking for.
So they think back historically to that, and they can't, I shouldn't say they can't, but sometimes they have difficulty removing the beautiful elements of a classical Lutheran education mm-hmm. out of that era, that time, and finding ways to, in today's society, in today's way of educating, putting those into practice. So I have been to many of our Lutheran classical schools. I have been a school principal mm-hmm. at Faith Lutheran in Plano, Texas. And at that school, I can promise you that that way of thinking was not happening at our school. The children are like any other children. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are children that come in to our facility, and yet they find delight in some of the orderliness of a classical education. And I do think there's an orderliness to it. When children begin learning a Latin chant, let's say that they have learned Amo Amas Amat, Amamus Amatus Amant. And then as principal, I'd walk through the school building and the teacher would say, "Hey, come on in. The kids have something they want to say to you." Mm-hmm. And they would stand up and say their Latin chant, which means "I love, you love, he, she, it loves," and with big smiles on their faces and very proud to have mm-hmm. accomplished this feat for them. So, I think that there is a great joy in learning for kids in classical schools, whether it be a foreign language like Latin, even that. Latin is fun. We had lots of fun activities with Latin, and the teachers are to be given a lot of credit for that. Right. It isn't just memorizing a vocabulary list or memorizing a chant, although it is that. But then, for instance, we would do a project that would be Cave Canem posters. Cave Canem means beware of the dog. And so you would create this poster that at the top of it would say Cave Canem, and then you could draw your ferocious dog and be as creative and as fun as you wanted to be. And then we would hang those posters up in the hallway. And so there's a lot of fun that can be included, as well as serious study for sure. But the two can go together. And I think that they go together wonderfully in the classical Lutheran schools that I've seen and been a part of.
Because when we worship, we worship. When we work in schools, that child's job, their vocation mm-hmm. for now. And when we play, we play. The weather back in Wyoming right now is much warmer than it is here in St. Louis. But imagine a long, hard winter, and I need to boost the morale of the students. We can do something fun, like Angry Birds Recess on their Kindle Fires, or Wecess, and we can have a bowling tournament. It's a very, very short bowling tournament, but everybody gets to try. Our children love their regular recess outside. We're getting ready to add some chin-up bars for all the future Marines in our student body. We do have a lot of fun, and I think they have as much fun playing soccer as they did for my first birthday there as headmaster. They sang me happy birthday in Latin.
Now, you both have mentioned Latin, and I know that it's a key part of classical education. Why Latin? What's significant about Latin? And we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, and so we could start on it. We may have to finish it in our next program, our next segment.
Well, Latin is the language of Western culture, and so in that way, we go back to our roots when we want to speak about Latin. The Reformers also knew Latin. Mm-hmm. They studied in their grammar schools in Latin. Can you imagine studying mathematics in Latin? But that was their schooling in their day. That was Luther's education. So Latin has that kind of foundation almost within Western civilization. And so it's our historical language. It's our mother tongue. It also is very important to English. So much of the English language, students who study Latin tend to do very well, for instance, talking pragmatically here, but students who study Latin do very well on vocabulary tests or college entrance exams, things of this sort.
SAT. Mm-hmm.
And even better than if they had studied other languages. There have been some studies that have done that show how Latin is beneficial in that way. So that's a big reason why, not only because classical education looks back to see what was good about education in the past that we can also do today, and that would include language such as Latin. And really, Latin becomes, and the study of Latin with the words like grammar and logic and rhetoric, though that whole way of thinking about classical education is taken from Latin and the study of Latin. Grammar is mm-hmm. is a language term, and so is logic and rhetoric. So those ideas are couched in a language, and that language being Latin.
And I remember at the university, my Greek professor asking, how many of you have taken Latin before? That's going to make this a lot easier if you've had Latin before you take Greek. And it was true. My classmates who had had Latin before did really well in Greek. I, on the other hand, had not had Latin.
The word endings, the vocabulary, the curse of the participle, yeah.
And here's an example. My son, who turned 20 just January the 19th, is a student at Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan. And he had Latin at home with us. I tried to encourage him to take Latin at Hillsdale. He made another choice. He chose German. And he is doing very well. And he will tell you that, yes, you know, studying those languages helped me in mm-hmm. studying other languages, even at German at Hillsdale.
And especially French, Italian, mm-hmm. Spanish. We were told of a scholar at a sister school in Wyoming, and for one summer, he decided, Mom, Dad, I'm going to learn Italian for fun. Our children love to put their Latin to use, whether it's chapel or Christmas caroling, and they regularly sing Adeste Fidelis, and I get to tell them, oh, just like Bing Crosby. And then they ask, who's Bing
<that?">
Crosby? And all the ladies in the nursing home giggle just a little bit.
Sure. Well, we're talking about classical Lutheran education today on Faith and Family. We're going to wrap up the segment. We'll continue the conversation tomorrow on Faith and Family during the second segment. So I hope that you can join us for the conversation as we continue talking with the Reverend Paul Kane, pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and headmaster of Martin Luther Grammar School in Sheridan, Wyoming, and the Reverend Stephen Kieser, pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church, Darmstadt, Evansville, Indiana. Stick around for more right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.